Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hey, everybody. This is Alan Tudyk, and this week, Geek... What is it? Hello, everybody. This is Alan Tudyk, and this week in Geek.net. You may know me from Firefly or Con Man out on Vimeo. Check it out.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I am Jamie J.J. Johnston, and I'm joined by...
I have risen from my grave! I'm not dead, surprisingly.
Mike the not-dead Birdman Dot?
Yes, I'm back, because that's why we weren't doing shows for 2 weeks, because I was almost dead, as you've heard many times on this show, so I'm not going to go through it again. I'm so glad to be alive.
I managed to get one prototype mini in there with the girlfriend.
Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.
He's going to do another one, actually, which we can still talk about because next week this is going to release. I haven't actually done it yet because it's going to be all about League of Legends and the world tournament scene. That is still going on right now. That's why I haven't actually released it. I was going to release it last week, and I was misinformed with looking at the schedule. I thought finals were on the weekend there. They're actually this weekend coming up, so I'm delaying that episode. It's going to be next week.
It'll be good times.
Yeah.
And plus, we're finally going to get around to talking about what you should spend your money on as we look at the holiday season, because Broketober is in full effect, and... I've already put down some money. It's going to be ridiculous. In fact, today, my wife, my lovely, lovely wife, went out and threw down a pre-order for Halo 5's Limited Collector's Edition, which is the huge, almost $300 one. Now, luckily, I'm paying for my own birthday present-ish. We took some of my old games. I wasn't playing anymore and put that towards it. Surprisingly, we got a fair chunk of trade credit. Then again, I got a lot of games I just don't play anymore. So we got that. Other games we're going to talk about. I'll give you brief reviews of Rock Band 4, Transformers Devastation, Lego Dimensions, Mad Max. If you've been checking out the site, I did my review for Mad Max earlier this week. Metal Gear Solid 5 was last week. It's been a busy couple of... It's been about a busy 2 weeks in terms of gaming.
It's only going to get busier.
Oh.
But that being said, we'll leave that for a later episode of The Prototype of all the things that you're going to have to buy. And God, that list is going to be large this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've already got them all planned out of what I'm buying. And I'm like, my pockets, they're exploding. But today on The Prototype... well, actually, we didn't really get into exactly what we've been playing recently. What have you been playing while you've been dying?
Well, I played a lot of Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Pretty much kicked that game's ass. I think I'm at, like, 90% completion after 145 hours.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Like, and it's just basically, I just have to go back and do a bunch of little objectives, but I've got all the secrets. I got the secret ending. I got every gun in the game, every upgrade possible. I've also been playing Mad Max, which isn't a bad game. I just don't think it's worth $60 on console. excuse me. Also,
still dying.
Yeah, I've still got a little bit of a cough. It's not so bad. I've been playing a lot of Rock Band 4, which, you know what surprised me about that? They have taken so much out of it.
Really?
Like, yeah, there's, like, no practice modes anymore. Okay. Half the DLC doesn't carry over yet. That's due to licensing issues, but they should have that sorted out fairly shortly. There's no online mode.
What?
Yeah, like, at all.
Online or practice?
No. Which means Rock Band 3 is technically the superior game.
Yeah,
they,
for sure.
They do have this freestyle guitar thing, which is fun, but unless you do the tutorial, you'll fuck up your combos every single time. And yeah, it sounds cool, and sometimes it can sound really, really neat, but other times you're like, eh. what else have I been playing? Oh, haven't played this game per se, but follow me here. I've been building a lot of the Lego Dimension sets. I think I've got almost every level pack released at retail. The only one I'm missing is the Portal 2 pack. And frankly, I don't care. I've never cared for Portal. I will never care for Portal. But I do kind of want the Shell Mini, so... So yeah, I've been building those. My wife bought me today the Homer Simpson one. But I've got, the Back to the Future one. I've got Emmett from the Lego Movie, Bad Cop from the Lego Movie, Benny the Space Guy from the Lego Movie, Homer Simpson in his car and a weird itchy and scratchy television set.
So... You mean the physical ones?
Yeah, I've got everything ready to go.
We're playing like Lego Universe or something, because I think there's like an MMO Lego game either coming out or already out. I can't remember.
Yeah, this one, it looks like... the Lego game, the Lego Dimensions game, it looks amazing. The fact that there's so many different franchises, this thing is going to print money. Especially, they've already got my pre-orders for Doctor Who and Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to dig into that until the weekend, but I've been building everything but. Let me see. What else have I been playing?
You've been playing a lot while you've been... Well, yeah, I guess you had an extra week over me because I did the one episode.
I've just been playing a lot of those really big open world games. I was surprised how much time I spent with like, Mad Max. I finished the game totally last night, got, like, 100%, and I'm thinking, well, that's it? Well, that sucks. And getting Max's car, the Interceptor, the black-on-black, that car is nowhere near as cool as the Magnum Opus, which actually has a fucking rocket launcher and the harpoon.
Yeah.
It's the car from the movies, which is neat in and of itself, but, although getting his Road Warrior leathers and his shotgun. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, honestly, the other cars are better, but the Magnum Opus, if you have everything pimped out right, is amazing. Mine was like death on two wheels. In fact, I was doing the final fight against Scabrous Scrotus last night. That's the guy's fucking name. And literally, it's like, defeat his war boys and destroy the gas tanks on his war rig. This should be a super tough fight. Yeah, I was done it in 2 minutes.
Huh.
I was like, bitch, rocket, 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 harpoon, rocket, dead, fuck you. And then I took him out with two thunder sticks right at the end, because I guess I just must have hit him in just, like, the right spot as he was trying to run me over. But yeah, two shots, he was fucking dead. Thinking, oh, well.
Super hard. Yes.
Yeah. I've invaded bases that were harder than this. So, yeah. What about you? What have you been playing?
Well, over the time since the last time we really had a show together. I continued playing Final Fantasy XIV, as I always will. But, and for everybody out there that plays it, they'll understand this. For everyone else, which is probably 99% of you, you won't understand this. But I actually managed to down Alexander Savage 3 with my group, which is a huge accomplishment. It basically puts us within, like, 0.4% of the population of the people playing that game, which is actually a very large amount of people. We finally beat that fight. There's only one more floor left, and only like 700 people in the world have even beat that one. So we're working on it, but I don't know. It's like grinding your teeth with like aluminum foil in between. It's not for everybody. Anyway, other than that, I had someone message me on Steam, and they were like, "Hey, you remember your giant base that you had in Ark Survival Evolved, and how you quit playing?" I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Could you log in and like transfer all that to us so we can demolish all of it and take the resources?" And I'm like, "Wait, my base is still there? Like, I stopped playing like 6 to 8 months ago." I'm like, "Oh yeah, it doesn't despawn. Like, they've now added something that will be demolishable by other players after so long. So mine was coming up in like 3 days or something." So I'm like, "You know what? I'll get back to you on that." And then I immediately removed him from the friends list. And I called up my buddy that I used to play really hardcore with. And I'm like, "Let's go back to the game. They have added so much stuff to this that it's like a brand new freaking game. And its difficulty is like 5 times harder right now. So we're still the same level. I've actually been doing a streaming series, basically, which is going to end up the highlights and really fun parts are going to go on YouTube soon. I'm going to be about a week behind on that. So like day one will be next week on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So if you want to check out the game, definitely check me out, twitch.tv/Dovaz. It'll be in the description, yada, yada. It's a lot of fun again. We're having a friggin' blast. We're rebuilding our old base in secret because we don't want anybody on the server to know that we're back, because our citadel that we basically built was put into ruins from the war that made us end up quitting eventually. So nobody comes here because they just think it's a giant like castle of ruins that there's no reason to go into because you can't build over other people's stuff. So we've been hiding and slowly building our stuff back up. And my brand new frog last night, Battletoad, rest in peace, he died. I blame it on you, by the way.
It's yeah, all your fault, Dodd. He got the virus.
He got the virus. Anyway, so yeah, those are the main two things that I've been doing. Ark I started just a couple days ago, but other than that, I've been watching a lot of stuff. Like, the League of Legends World Championship is out right now. The finals are going to be this weekend, so everybody should definitely check that out. See what an actual official esport looks like. It's pretty fun. So for today, our subject, since, you know, I was rambling on there, we are actually talking about, well, specifically, we watched Nintendo Quest. That was the name of the film, right? The official name. So basically, well, do you want to give like a quick synopsis of what the premise of the movie was?
Okay, so Nintendo Quest follows filmmakers Rob and his best friend Jay. Both are from London, Ontario. And Rob has challenged Jay to, "All right, Jay, you have money, you have the time. You always say you wanted a complete Nintendo collection. Well, you got 30 days to do it. And I'm going to film
basically,
it."
Basically, he was like, "I double dare you."
More or less. And so they agreed to go on a huge road trip, and he has to get all 678 games. And that includes shit like Little Samson and stadium events. But not the unlicensed stuff like the Quattro 4-1 and any pirate cards or
any
bubble bath babes.
Cards or anything like that. Yeah,
exactly. So no NWC.
Retail ones. All the retail ones, basically.
Yeah. So, although I don't know, although I was wondering if he included Action 52 in that, because I did see it on his shelf, but he did have Greg Pavich in the movie, who's like the the Cheetah Man guy, so he could have very easily gotten that for nothing. That's how I got my copy.
See, I'm not sure if that was included, because like, they didn't do any highlights on it, and it is one of the slightly more expensive games, so I think they would have had it in there if they actually had it on the list.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's basically Jay's travels as he goes across Canada and the U.S. to find. Surprisingly, he finds a lot in London, Ontario. He visits people like Sid Bolton at the Personal Computer Museum. He visits Gar down at ANC Games down in Toronto. And then goes to different places in like Cincinnati, Indiana, Oklahoma. And eventually he talks to a guy in Florida who was going to sell him a copy of Stadium Events in Little Samson.
Which, for those of you that don't know, these are like the original Nintendo games. Stadium Events is basically track and field, which is like a really common Nintendo first party game. But it wasn't actually a first party game. It was originally created, and it was called Stadium, like Family Fun Fitness Stadium Events or something like that. I always just call it Stadium Events. It was created by a third party. And Nintendo said, no, we actually really like this game. We want to make it a first-party game. We're going to bundle it and everything. So we need you to recall all your games. So there's, like, none of them in existence. They were a retail release, though, so they did get out to the public. And according to the movie, I actually didn't even know this, there's, like, 6 to 10 of them that are, like, in the box still or something.
Yep, and I know one was found at a thrift shop about 5 or 6 years ago, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and a guy in the movie actually has 2 of them. It's like, he has like 20% of the entire world's collectible copies of this.
As far as I can't remember where I heard this. I want to say it was maybe from Pat, the like NES punk, but don't quote me on that. There's 20 copies in the world, because that's how many went out into one market. It was like in like North Carolina or something. And then the game got recalled super fucking quick because that was a test market for it. And then, like you said, it got rebranded as World Class Track Meet. Now, it was released in Europe. The PAL version was released under Stadium Events. And sometimes people get caught with fakes. Or the PAL version. And, well, we can talk about that as well. So, anyway, so Jay does his quest. Does he complete it? Well, you're going to have to go back and see the movie. I was surprised how things went with it, all things considered. Now, I would like to know, there are some questions I have about the movie, and I have interviewed Rob and Jay, but I couldn't necessarily get answers directly out of this because they were doing promotion for the movie, so I guess they couldn't answer everything. It's kind of like asking, so what's the post-credits scene in the next Marvel movie, you know? They're not necessarily going to tell you. They may tease it, but they can't tell you. So I'd like to know how much Jay spent on this. My guess is around $6,000 to $8,000.
So that's actually on the top of my list. Like, I have a small list here of things that I liked / didn't really like about the movie. The very first thing, they're like, he has a budget that he has to, like, all the money is coming out of his budget. The movie developers and everything are not going to be helping for him to get all of these games. And they make this little budget meter, and they never say how much it is. And it's like, well, like, how much budget did you start with? You, like, go up and you're like, oh, I'm going to be spending this much on a stadium events. And you never said, like, how much did you start with? Like, that is just...
It's kind of infuriating, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I understand maybe he didn't want to tell people, oh, I had this much money, I don't want to like pretend, like seem like I'm flaunting around that I had money at this time to buy this collection. But at the same time, when you're, like, I do what he did in this movie. I don't try to do it in 30 days. I hunt games, both for resale and for my collection. Like, I'm not specifically going for Nintendo, but... It's one of those things of, it's just like, how much did you start with? Like, why are you not telling us that? Because when you say, oh, I have this budget, and then the meter keeps going down when he's buying games and stuff, it's like, well, how do I know if that's even true? Like,
yeah.
It bugged me.
Well, when he bought stadium events the first time, it was something like $4,000, and the meter dropped a significant amount. So I'm thinking, all right, my guess is, like I said, between $6,000 to $8,000, give or take.
If the meter actually matters, I actually spaced it out. And it looked like it was about 1/4 to 1/3 of his full budget. So if it was $4,000, he had about $12,000 to $15,000. If the meter actually means anything and it isn't just theatrics. But that being said, why do I have to figure it out? It should have just been said. And at the same time, coming off of this is, why did he never say the price of any of the games that he got, like, or the deals that he got? And, like, I understand maybe he wanted to protect certain people that were like, oh, yeah, we'll give you a really good deal, but don't tell people what we did. We just wanted to support the cause or whatever. But it's like, you're going to say you have a budget, you're not going to say how much you're paying for the games, and then suddenly down the road in the movie he does start saying the prices of the games, and it's like, oh, I spent this much on this one, I didn't really want to do that, or they show the price tags, whereas the first half of the movie they're not showing the price tags. It just seemed really inconsistent on that. It's like, just either show us all the info or don't show it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of be of the same mindset. I've got questions. Well, one of my other complaints about this movie, just because I want to see it, I want to know what the top 20 were. They show it, but they never zoom in enough so you can see it. I know the top three were Stadium Events, Little Samson, Bonk's Adventure, Snow Brothers was on there, Cowboy Kid, Zombie Nation, Fire and Ice. I think of what else off the top of my head that I remember seeing.
The only way that you would actually be able to name them all is if you stopped and paused on that screen and were, like, actually looking at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they never really, like, showcased and, like, zoomed in and said, like, went through the list of the top 20, which I think that's kind of a big deal. They're the top 20 hardest games to get in the NES library. Why not give it a little more attention?
Well, I guess they really focus on, like, kind of stadium events, yet they talk about Little Samson. And they very briefly mention it was one of the last games released by Taito at the end of the NES's life cycle. And yet you look at a YouTube channel like Norm, the gaming historian. He did an entire episode on Little Samson. There's so much more information they like could have added. They could have shown gameplay or something. But then again, you didn't really see any of that in the movie. And that may be just due to, like, a rights issue, which is fine. And that's totally understandable because, you know, game makers want to protect their intellectual property and blah, 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 blah. Figuring out legalese, it ain't fucking worth it. But I really did like...
You can still talk about it a bit more, though.
Yeah. Right? It would have been nice to hear a little bit more on certain games. That, I think, would have been cool.
At least the ones that are in the top 20 there, because they're, like, that's what they were showcasing. They're like, these are the hardest ones to get. These are the ones that we care about. So, obviously, the audience is going to care about it just as much. So why not give more info on those ones? Like, there was the odd one on there, since I'm not specifically an NES collector. I didn't know about them. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I didn't know if that was a game on the NES, and I didn't realize why it was, like, I want to know why is it rare? Like, is it one of those Taito games that, because Taito got really good at making games at the very end of the NES cycle, they released few of them? Like, that's generally the story behind most Taito games that are that expensive. But there's some of the other ones that were created by, like, Capcom, and it's like, what's the story? Why,
yeah,
didn't you tell me.
Like, I had no idea the Jetsons was rare, and yeah. You know, I'm really surprised they didn't talk about the rental only games like Surprise at Dinosaur Peak, which was a Blockbuster exclusive. So very few boxes of this game actually exist because, once again, it was a Blockbuster exclusive. So if they had the box, that's goddamn lucky. At best. Mm-hmm. So, but overall, though, I did enjoy the movie. It was kind of nice to see a bit of a slice of life into Jay, finding out his relationship with his mom, his friends and family trying to help him out and what this actually means to him.
And see, I was okay with the parts where it was like anything that had to do with the video games and the collecting cause. But there were points in the movie, and I'm not saying I'm like trying to be a jerk about this or anything, but it's literally why, what value was this in the movie? He had two specific events. Like, I don't want to give away the movie, but it was just two things about his personal life and only his personal life that had nothing to do with video games. Basically, deaths and stuff like that. It's like, why are you bringing this into the movie? Like, I understand that really sucks when people or things die, but why is it part of the movie? Like, it literally had no impact on your adventure. It put a sour taste in my mouth because it was almost like they were trying to suck you in to make you feel more about him than him and his quest. Like, I don't know. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, it was trying to introduce a more human element to it where wasn't necessarily needed. And I can see what they're doing from a filmmaker's perspective where you want to humanize your documentary subject. But yeah, I'm kind of in agreement. I would like to have seen more about the games. But for all I know, when this thing gets released on DVD or Blu-ray, which I want to say is in November, right now it's available on demand, which is how we watched it. There may be special features about it, and maybe we'll get the answers that we're actually kind of looking for.
Possibly.
But yeah, overall, though, I do think the movie is worth checking out just because you get to see a lot of the stores that exist in, well, the top half of North America, stuff like Warp Zone, which I want to say is in Toledo. There's game exchanges they also talk about. There's been a few places. I know there's one place they went to in Philadelphia, which I know people like Alpha Omega Sin and the Game Chasers have been to. In fact, you'll see some locations that the Game Chasers have been to, which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah, like, I was actually surprised at how much they did. Like, they stayed out of Canada mostly. Like, they were in Canada for the first part, and they kind of went, like, a specific path down into the States, which, at first I was like, well, why wouldn't you go through Canada and then swoop down to the States? But then I really thought about it, and there's a shit ton more games down in the States than in Canada, and they're a lot easier to find, so that's probably why they did it. One of my gripes was kind of the beginning of the movie, though, because this is an adventure to try to use a specific budget to try to get all of the games in the library. He got, like, some odd 200, maybe even 300 games near the beginning of the movie given to him by friends.
Well, no. He still had to buy them, but he got them at rock-bottom prices.
I don't know. There might have been the odd one that made him pay for them, but there was, like, straight up, like, I think the first two people just were like, here's a stack of my games. You can have them for the cause. It's like, okay, I understand that, but when the game's inside, like, if they were just commons, whatever. But one of them, I think, gave him a Snow Brothers.
No, it was Cowboy Kid, which is one of the rarer games on the NES. And I think he paid about $5 for it.
Yeah.
Or less.
Yeah. I don't know. And, he was given so many rare titles for free, basically. Like, even later in the movie, he got a couple other games. I'm not going to spoil it because I don't want to ruin the movie. Like, as Dodd was saying, it is worth watching. It's for sure. Like, there's gripes that we have about it, but it's really a good documentary.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can give you gripes about fucking Star Wars, and I love Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's cool to see more video game documentaries, and this is the one that's been more or less focused on just an ordinary dude collecting. Whereas stuff like, say, King of Kong, which is about a competitive player, or King of Chinatown, which is about the Street Fighter competitive scene, or I Got Next, stuff like, or even Chasing Ghosts, which is about the retro arcade competition scene. And you'll notice there's a pattern there. It's all competition documentaries.
Yeah, whereas this is just a dude, like, normal dude that loves video games, has a passion, wants to collect them, and is trying to do it in 30 days, which, holy crap, that is a crazy goal. If anybody is into the collecting scene like me, that is unheard of.
Like, well, yeah, and the fact that he had certain restrictions placed on him, like you can't use the internet in any way, shape, or form, although...
You can't use it to directly buy. So he was allowed to use the internet to, like, use Kijiji, Craigslist, all that. And that's how he ended up getting in contact with the guy with the in Florida, I think.
Yeah. Or it was a friend of a friend or something. But, yeah. Like, he had a lot of resources to help him out. And, like I said, I would like to know the logistics of how this all got pulled off. Now... I would be very interested to see what one could accomplish if they could circle around the entirety of the U.S. and no time limit, but you had a budget. Like, basically, you had one day in every state or something. I don't know. Something crazy like that. I'd be very curious to see if you could complete Super Nintendo and complete Nintendo. But at that point, you're more or less...
You need a pretty big fucking budget.
Well, yeah. And... In that case, you're just more or less kind of copying this, which
especially now too, though, like all the prices that I did see in this the documentary movie here. So we'll use an example. He looked up stadium events on eBay to show for the movie, and it was like $77,000 for like a complete in box one, and that was just even then he was like, that's even absurd for eBay. He ended up having the option to get. A loose copy for $4,000 from this one guy in Florida. We're not going to say how that panned out, whether he got it or if he didn't or whatever, but $4,000 is freaking cheap for it right now. So the price from the time they made this movie to right now, I have a friend in the community within Central Ontario that has just recently sold his copy. Like 2 weeks ago, sold it for, I think, $11,000 or $12,000 loose. So it has tripled in price since then. So that's how much of an impact the retro gaming scene has gone within the last... when did they film this? Do you know? Was it last year or the year before?
It was last year as far as I know.
Yeah, so like over a year. So... I honestly, at this point in time, I don't think he would be able to do it if he was dared to do it, like, now. Because of how much it's inflated.
Yeah, like, he would need a considerable higher budget to pull this off.
Like, and that's why, like, when you told me, hey, watch this movie, let's do a thing on it. And it started up and he was telling me about the quest. And I was like, oh, I know about this. Like, I've seen Jay at the swaps. Like, I've briefly heard about it, so I, as soon as they were like, oh, yeah, he's going to try to collect them all in a month. I thought it was over, like, a year or something he was trying to do it when I heard about it previously. So I was like, there's no damn way. Like, how much money did this guy have? Because I know the market right now, and it's just getting insane. So, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I'm very glad to see more video game documentaries. I'm happy that this one's Canadian, although I'm pretty sure Rob lives in Las Vegas. But hey, he's Canadian born and bred, so I'm happy this happens like an hour down the road from us, or like an hour and a half. So,
London's not far.
Yeah, and I've been to some of those game shops. In fact, one of the ones he visits beside that vacuum store, I actually visited there about 3 years ago with my friend Liam, and I bought a bunch of Sega Genesis games there at a retarded cheap price. So, London's a surprisingly good area to collect, although it has dried up in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, it'll come and go in every area, but I've heard London doesn't have a lot to do other than go to bars and play video games, so that's why there's a lot of games there. And it's a fairly large city, too, so...
Yeah, it's something like... want to say I think it's over 100,000, but I used to live there, but I don't remember a whole lot about it, truthfully, because yeah, there wasn't a lot to do besides go to bars and play video games. Well, I guess you could go to college and university, but
well, that you do that in between the booze and video games. it's the favorite pastime is going to university.
But yeah, so I guess overall, I guess our thoughts on Nintendo Quest, I would say go check it out. See how Rob and Jay's journey went. And if this is something you want, if this may inspire you to collect or set yourself a collecting goal, I don't see why you shouldn't film it or document it. I think that'd be kind of fun. I would be very happy to see people emulate this and kind of like do their own little mini documentaries, kind of like how people do their own kind of flea market things now, kind of like how Pat does Flea Market Madness. Someone says, okay, I'm going to find this week, I'm looking for X. I think that'd be kind of cool just to see how people do it. Now, I'd like to see someone do this type of thing with toys, personally. Like, if I could do Nintendo Quest and, hey, I'm going to collect all Ninja Turtle stuff from 1987 to 1993, complete, good luck. But, that'd be something I'd dig.
Complete word right there, Jesus.
Yeah, all just because
weapons
of...
Weapons that are lost.
Weapons or accessories or whatever, yeah.
Belts.
But, yeah, that'd be something I'd dig. But I really hope we do see more out of Rob and Jay eventually, because I know he does collect other things like Star Wars and whatnot. And I've talked with Jay, and on Facebook, he's a pretty interesting guy. He's very quiet, and that's what I kind of dig about him. And Rob comes off to me as a very excitable dude. He's very excited about any project he does. Talking with him about this movie, you could tell there was such passion behind it. And when he does little segments between the hunts in the movie, clearly he's emotionally invested. And that's something that I dig when a filmmaker digs a movie more than just a paycheck.
Yeah, he definitely put in like 120% on that.
Oh, yeah. So that's our thoughts on Nintendo Quest. You can download this thing on demand. I think it's available via Vimeo. That's where we watched it. So I'll make sure to post an episode link so you guys can go check it out. You can buy the DVD and Blu-ray. Like I said, I think in November or December you can have a physical copy. But you can watch it now if you so desire. So next week we're probably going to be talking about Broke-tober. In fact, I think that's what we're going to call the episode, Broke-tober and holiday spending.
Great.
So, yeah. So, get ready, folks. We got Call of Duty on the way. Halo 5 Guardians. Fucking Fallout 4.
Hey, save some for the episode, man.
Ugh. You people are going to be so broke. In fact,
We're going to be broke, too.
My God. What we need to do, Jamie, just brainstorming now. We need to add up the cost of getting everything from Standard and Collector's Edition. So I guess we're going to be making a spreadsheet later. So anyway, for the prototype, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I've been Jamie Johnston saying, do your dream and collect it all.
I'm going to get me a little Samson.
No, you're not.
For a cheeseburger.
For a cheeseburger? No.
Yes.
I'll get it for a quarter.
All right.
You're looking at me. Can you see that I'm trying to read? When I got got a mic in my hand, I'm on stage. But when I'm just chilling, I'm turning the page, because I'm reading a book. And I'm reading a book. And I'm reading the book. And I'm reading the book. Would you like to play Nintendo with me? We can play the whole night through, just you and me. And video games, got a license to drive like Corey Haim. Just you and me and Nintendo.
You and me and Nintendo.
I would like to play Nintendo with you. We can play the whole night through, just you and me. And video games, got a license to drive like Corey Haim. Just you and me and Nintendo.
You and me.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.